Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Once you know a couple of things about singer-songwriter Joshua James, he's currently leading a self-sufficient lifestyle in the mountains of Utah, it's hard to divorce life's major questions, like life, death, nature, and faith, from the sound of his new album, From the Top of Willamette Mountain. Getting harder to find and more words serve confusion to each corner of my mind. So baby, call me up when you get some time. His songs are sometimes traditional acoustic pickers, but they're also sonically deep and pensive, having been recorded from live studio performances over 2 weeks in Oregon. Originally from Nebraska, James became something of a hot commodity among the iTunes set with his first two albums, released in 2007 and 2009, and he stayed on the road until he settled back in Utah in 2011. The name of his album refers to his home and farm, which he calls Willamette Mountain, also the title of a track on the new record. Reviewers have struggled to categorize James' sound. Is he a one-man Mumford & Sons? Is he a rustic folky with existential dread? Is the album an alternative rock statement? One thing we do know about Joshua James is that he's here now. Welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks, man. Good to be here.
I wanted to start with what your place in Utah is like. Would you describe your home and farm?
Yeah, I live in a smaller town south of Salt Lake called American Fork, which is where my lady was born and raised. And we live kind of a bit further outside of the city, where we're able to keep animals. We have, you know, we have a chicken coop out back, and we have five goats living here on our property, and then a couple hives of honeybees, and then just a really massive garden that we try to grow as much produce we can during the hotter seasons, so that we're able to eat off of that food during the colder months, like the one that we're currently in. But it's just kind of a house. I have a studio upstairs that I record not only my music but other artists' music, and so it's just, you know, it's just a house with some lovable creatures running around, I suppose.
So what made you stop in Utah in the first place?
I mean, I suppose I came to Utah. I mean, I originally came to Utah to go to school. I was going to college when I first moved out here. And then I was in nursing school with my wife, who wasn't my wife at the time, but we were dating and we were going to nursing school together. And I had this opportunity. I mean, my whole musical career is such a strange thing, how it all came about. Music was never my plan. Music was never my, it wasn't even really something that I necessarily wanted to do. I mean, I love playing music. I've always loved playing music, but it wasn't like one of those things like, I'm going to be a touring musician. I'm going to be, you know, the next, who, you know, fill in the blank, whoever. It was just never, I never thought it possible. And I dropped out of college to pursue touring and life as a troubadour, whatever you want to call it, a vagabond singer. And Utah kind of stayed in my heart. I never had plans of staying here, but, you know, my lady really wanted to be here around her family. And I grew up in Nebraska, in Lincoln, and I sure as hell was not about to move back to Nebraska.
Why not?
No, have you been to Nebraska, man?
I've not been to Nebraska.
Oh man, and look at me. I'm like completely bagging on Nebraska. Nebraska isn't that bad, but it's just insanely humid during the summer, really hot and freezing cold in the winter. And there's just very little great weather. And after I moved out to Utah, I really got into rock climbing. And Lord knows there's no mountains in Nebraska. So it was kind of just one of those things that I suppose there's a lot of great things about Utah. Of course, there's some harder things about Utah for me to deal with, but isn't that everywhere? I mean, anywhere you go, you can find the good and the bad. So I suppose it's a good place to be right now. My animals are here, my lady's here, and my friends and my studio, and it's just a good place, man. It's a really beautiful place.
You know, you said that you hadn't dreamed about going into music, but that's not an easy lifestyle to take on. I mean, life of a musician who's got to be on the road and recording and, as you say, living as a troubadour. What were some of the signs that you saw that it was working or that it was, you know, worth taking the plunge?
I guess I hate to say it, but, you know, money was coming in and we were selling records. And as evil as money can be, it's one of those necessary things to be able to provide for you and, you know, your family. And in my case, me and my wife. And it was one of those things that we started selling records and making money. And so I felt like I could take a little bit of risk by dropping out of school and kind of just seeing where it took me. You have a savior, it's your heart of anger, but my dog ain't nothing, he ain't nothing like my lover, ain't nothing like my lover at all. He will sit upon. As it paid off and people were coming out to shows and still buying records, it was just, we've been able to get by, you know, we're able to pay the mortgage somehow every month and there's always food on the table and the bills are paid and it's one day at a time, man, because I can't tell you right now in this moment that I'll always be doing this, because I don't know. I hope I'm always playing music in some capacity, but you never know. I mean, this could be my last hurrah. This record could be the last record I ever make. I don't know. You know, for me, first and foremost, isn't art. It isn't music. It's my lover and her well-being and the well-being of you know, our existence together as humans. And so I think that I take that responsibility much more to heart than the responsibility of a folk singer. And so I'm just riding this and singing my heart out as much as I can for as long as I can and kind of seeing where it leads me, you know. And I guess that's life in general, everything we do, you know, every job we have or risk that we take, we're hoping, you know, for a positive outcome, and sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. So music is no different. It's just a really wild thing. Like the fact that I'm sitting here on the phone with you, being all the way in New York and me in Utah, talking about my music it's just really mind-blowing for me. It's very intriguing, the fact where I've arrived to, and it's awesome. And it's been a really wild and amazing journey. And I'm just riding it right now, riding that wave.
Is it difficult to find time for music the way that you're, you know, sort of running your self-sufficient life?
You know, man, it's not. I feel that I'm able to spread my time out appropriately and get up in the morning and walk my pups and feed the goats and feed the chickens and spend some time with my loved ones and make time for music. I think that my whole life I have to have a lot of things taking up my time, or idle time for me is depressing time. And I have known, you know, in the past have suffered from severe anxiety and even, you know, depression. And I find that I'm happiest when I'm really busy. So it's nice to have to juggle it all. It's nice to have to juggle the garden with the goats, with the music and the studio and the touring and the making of records and this, you know, all of those things. It's just, you just do it, man, just like anything. You know, everyone's got a billion things on their plate, and we just do it.
You said something really interesting, which was that you like to live in the moment, and you think it's just amazing to be working on, you know, music is right now. You don't know, nothing's promised to you. Maybe it's your last album. Does that create more pressure on you when you go into a studio for a couple weeks that, you know, this really could be the last CD you do? You don't know.
Not really. I don't ever feel like a strong artistic pressure ever. The truth is I didn't. That didn't cross my mind ever during the recording process. I just, you know, the newer songs off the new record, that's what I've been living in. That's what I've been feeling and thinking and singing about. And I don't really feel like a pressure. And even though, yeah, that could be my last quote-unquote studio album, I'll always make music, man, you know, in some capacity. I'll always create music. And whether it's on the larger scale where I release it, you know, nationally and I'm doing interviews and touring, I don't know. But I'll always make music. So it's kind of, and I'll always write and always sing. So I think, I guess that's never really, that I've never really thought about that. Like, the pressure of, could this be my last record? It's kind of a weird thought, to be honest, because I've been doing this for now, you know. We released the first record in 06, so, you know, it's been a good chunk of time, good chunk of my life that I've been doing this, so it's kind of a strange concept to think that maybe this is it, you know, maybe this is the last one.
How did you go from nursing school to music? I mean, I have to wonder if there's some crossover between some of the themes you're hitting on in this album lyrically with that interest.
Yeah, I mean, nursing was one of those things, you know, that I never felt passionate about. I wasn't doing it because I wanted to do it. I was doing it because it was a good career. It was going to make money and be able to pay my bills, and it's a secure career. You know, people are going to be sick. People are going to need health care forever, you know, and the hope is the machines don't replace those people, but machines are replacing so many other things in our lives that I guess I felt that medicine was something that we're going to need for at least during my lifetime. And my father's a podiatrist, and he kind of steered me into the nursing arena. But I didn't feel passionate about it. And music, I mean, I could just connect with it, you know, when I sang, and I just felt really grounded when I was singing and singing out these things that I felt about. But I guess I just never deemed it a possibility, you know, a career possibility. And so I just always did it in free time during, you know, during tests and studying and school. And when I, you know, when we got our booking agent, it was just kind of one of those things like, okay, well, we're setting up this tour. And it was kind of one of those moments where I'm either going to do this or I'm not going to do it. And I did it, and it's been so great and magical and mysterious, and I've met some of the most incredible people and seen some of the most beautiful places in the world. And if it all ended today, if this was the last thing I ever did in music, was this interview with you, it would still just be such a grand adventure, and I'm just grateful for it.
Joshua James, his new album is From the Top of Willamette Mountain. Joshua, thank you so much for your time, and it's been a pleasure to listen to the album and to ask you about it, so I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it too. Thank you so much for the interview.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.